Tom, next year, if you can get a taller podium, I greatly appreciate that. So, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My Lord, I believe and know and feel that you are the supreme good. I believe that, beautiful as is your creation, it is of no account compared with you, and therefore, since I perceive you to be so beautiful, I love you, and I desire to love you more and more. My God, you know how little I love you. I would not love you at all except for your grace. Keep my whole being fixed on you. Let me never lose sight of you. And let my love for you grow more and more every day. Our Lady, Queen of the Clergy, St. John the Baptist, St. Joseph, Terror of Demons, St. Athanasius, and the composer of this prayer, St. John Henry Newman, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Back in June, the Coalition for Canceled Priests launched with our Breaking the Silence event in Lombard, Illinois. And after the event, a very burly man, not in a tuxedo, comes running over to me. And I'm thinking, security. And in a very deep, masculine radio voice, similar to Rush Limbaugh, he says, "Father, I'm Tom Oglesby." And since then, I've come to know and love a man and his wonderful wife, Marianne, who have devoted their life, their retirement, actually, to spreading the truth. And the first time I had a long conversation with Tom over the phone about coming out here and supporting KCRD, Aquinas Communications, I love how the blue shirts say Team Aquinas on it. We should all be wearing shirts that on the shoulder says Team Aquinas. I asked him, how is it that you're in Dubuque, you have EWTN radio, you have relevant radio, and that you keep everyone, at the time I thought, so happy? He says, "Father, I don't care about keeping anyone happy. I care about the truth, and the truth is not a thing. The truth is a person, and that's Jesus Christ." After I heard that, I knew that Tom and I would become very quick and fast friends. A little background on myself. I was canceled 9 years ago. I was studying in Washington, D.C. at the Dominican House of Studies at the time. But when I was home on break, I would live at St. Mary's in Galena. And I've been all over the world in my short life. I've been to New Zealand, Australia. I've seen the Australian Grand Canyon. I didn't know it existed until I went there. I've been to the Grand Chartreuse in France, in the Southern Alps, the home of the Carthusian monks, the mother house. And I can tell you right now that the Driftless region of the Midwest, northwestern Illinois, eastern Iowa, and southwestern Wisconsin, blows almost every other place away. And so often, when I was encouraging people from Chicago or Detroit or to New York or Los Angeles to come here and support KCRD, they said, "Why are we going to Dubuque? Do they even have an airport?" And I always like to tell them, St. Louis might be the Rome of the West, but Dubuque is little Rome. And all you have to do, you should clap for that, because all you have to do is drive around Dubuque and see what was a great and robust archdiocese. What I told Archbishop Jaeckels when he decided to attack you, he wasn't attacking Tom. He wasn't attacking a radio antenna. He was sadly going after Catholics who say enough is enough. We want unadulterated Catholicism. We want to hold the bad bishops, the bad priests accountable, and we're tired of seeing our churches closed and turned into wedding venues. One of the most beautiful churches in Dubuque proper now has a bar. A bar in the nave, St. Mary's. When I was at Mount St. Mary's Seminary, I had a great church history professor named Father Roach. He was a big, jolly man with a big white beard. He kind of looked like Santa Claus. And he used to say, when he would tell us stories, for example, like St. Denis of Paris, how he had his head chopped off and how he picked it up and carried it to his grave. And he used to say to us, gentlemen, if it's not true, it should be. And when I was first introduced to the Archdiocese of Dubuque, it was by a Rockford priest, I won't mention his name, and he told me a very sad story, which I hope is not true. Back in the 19th, well, to go back even farther, your first bishop, Bishop Loris, who is also being canceled, was a young seminarian in Lyon, France, and he was tasked with tutoring another seminarian who was a little bit older than him, but couldn't quite get the Latin, let alone the theology that was in the Latin. And Bishop Loris got so upset with this other seminarian that he slapped him. And that seminarian got down on his knees and begged for forgiveness for being so stupid. And today, that seminarian is known as the cure of ours, St. John Vianney, the patron saint of all priests. And he asked Bishop Loris, they became very good friends, he asked Bishop Loris when he was being sent to New France, now known as Iowa, to become the bishop, he said, please dedicate a parish in honor of St. Philomena. And Bishop Loris did. And back in the 1960s, during the tumult of Vatican II and the aftermath, it was decided that St. Philomena's was no longer going to be called St. Philomena's. It was going to be called the Church of the Resurrection. And to this day, it's called the Church of the Resurrection. We're going to have the National Catholic Reporter next week saying that I am dissing the resurrection, by the way. But this priest of Rockford told me that when they changed the name, the pastor took the statue of St. Philomena out of the parish and put it in the dumpster. And that parishioner saw this, went and picked her up and carried her back in the church. And the pastor got so mad, he got a sledgehammer and broke the statue apart. And then they wonder why so many are leaving the church. And to quote or paraphrase my church history teacher, I don't know if that's true, and I hope it's not, because that's a very sad story. And the priest that told it to me said, Father, I tell you that because of the resiliency of faithful Catholics in the Dubuque Archdiocese. And I had the great honor of being asked by now deceased Father Thomas McAndrew to help out. To help out at the traditional Mass at St. Francis Xavier Basilica in the Field of Dreams in Dyersville, only about 30 minutes from here. And I remember when I was removed 9 years ago, so many priests of my diocese just simply stopped talking to me. People that I considered close, if not best friends, who I went to seminary with, I lived right next door to them at the seminary. They were the deacon at my first Mass. I was the MC at their first Mass. They've stopped talking to me and have not called me once in the last 9 years. But Father McAndrew called. This veteran of the Korean War, who after the Korean War went and became a priest for the Archdiocese of Dubuque, and then went back in the army as a chaplain. And he kept me on the phone for an hour telling me it's going to be all right. You're going to get through this. You're being signaled out for something special. And over the last 9 years, I'll have to say sometimes I doubted that. And it was hard to hear of his passing just last year. And it's a reminder to me that while Dubuque has suffered at the hands of many a bad clergyman, of many a bad sister or nun, that they are the vast minority of the mother houses and the abbeys and the presbyterate of Dubuque that fought and built such a great archdiocese. I would like everyone to take a moment of silence to remember Father McAndrew and all the faithful priests, all the faithful sisters that stayed true to the Catholic faith. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. My last story about Dubuque, and then I'll start very quickly with the coalition. I always get sandwiched at these talks between Vigano and Altman. It's like, hurry up, walking up on the stage, give Tom a hug. We're running behind. I'll try to move as quickly as possible. When Father McAndrew asked me if I could cover for one of his Masses, I was teaching at Boylan Central High School at the time, living in Rockford, and I came out that summer to Galena with a friend, a priest friend, to just do a little R&R, and he asked me to come and just sit in choir at a Sunday Mass that he was doing, just to get the lay of the land of the Basilica. And it is a gorgeous church, as you all know that have been there. One of many in the Archdiocese. And several weeks later, as the school year began, I went to celebrate Mass. And I had the great fortune in my short time in active ministry to teach hundreds of students, both at Marion Central Catholic in Woodstock and Boylan Central Catholic in Rockford. And for those that are teachers, you know that you have a lot of good students, you have some bad students, some headache students, but every once in a great while, you have a student that just awes you. Male or female, it doesn't matter. You could just tell that this person is destined for great things, not only with the intelligence, just with his overall or her overall demeanor. And I was fortunate enough to have one of those students. And he decided to go to Loras College, and it was his freshman year, and I called him up. And I said, well, I have the Sunday Mass, Latin Mass, in Dyersville. Do you want to come? Well, I don't know. I'll buy you lunch afterwards. Yes. And I picked him up, and as we're driving from Dubuque to Dyersville, we're going past Beckman High School, and we're going just around the town to get to the Basilica, and he starts to say, wow, there's a primary Catholic school, there's a secondary, a high Catholic high school. He says, there's even a Dairy Queen. I could raise my family here. And it was his first Latin Mass. And he went, attended a very ugly brick church in Rockford. And so for him to walk into St. Francis Xavier Basilica, it was like for many of us who've been to Rome to walk into St. Peter's for the first time. It took his breath away. And after Mass, I'm greeting people, and a woman comes up to me in tears saying her mother, who's invalid, is near death. Can I come and anoint her? And I said, of course. And so I had to take my former student with me. And I anointed her, and he's standing there watching this, and I'm thinking to myself the whole time, this is about as good as any vocation video can get. And he was just awestruck by the anointing in the old rite. And as we were going back, all he wanted to do was talk about the Mass, talk about how the church was built for that Mass, unlike his church, which was built for the Novus Ordo, and about the anointing. And a few days later, that woman died, and the daughter called and asked if I would come back to Dyersville to do a Requiem Mass. And once again, I picked up my former student at Loris, this time a Saturday morning, for him to experience a Requiem Mass, a sung Requiem Mass. And I tell you this because the mercy of God, a few months after that, he met his future wife. Guess what town she was from? Dyersville. And they were college sweethearts. And shortly after graduation, they married. They spent a year on the East Coast, came back. He now works in the medical profession here in Dubuque. They have a house in Dyersville. They have three wonderful children, just to start. They're not planning to stop at three. And when I see the ruins of what some would call, and what I would call, a great archdiocese, and the closing of the churches, and the shrinking of the presbyterates, I always remember God's grace is always going to work. Because there is a young man trying his best to be a Catholic father, and his wife is trying to be the best Catholic mother, and they're trying to raise a Catholic family in Dyersville, in the middle of Iowa. They want unadulterated Catholicism. And sadly now, the traditional Mass is no longer offered in Dyersville. In fact, I think it's only offered in Cedar Rapids. Kind of hard for people living in Dubuque to get to. But I want to encourage you because Catholicism and the rebuilding of it begins with the family. You help to build up your domestic church, and it's going to spread like wildfire. And that's what we need. And for all of you to come out to support Aquinas Communications, to support the coalition, all I can say is thank you. Where do canceled priests go from here? We're going to stand, I hope, united with your support, with prayer, with fasting. Many of us got together this week for a retreat. A generous donor gave us their house in the Galena Territory. Never met him. Lives in Kansas City. Talk to him once on the phone, "Father, we're behind you." And it gave a chance for priests who can't afford to go on vacation, who, as Liz says, sometimes have to live on their mother's couch, to be able to have a little relaxation, to have that fraternity. Because one thing that I hear over and over again from priests around the country is just the fraternity is not there amongst the presbyterate. Whether they're active or canceled, somewhere priests have forgotten that they're a brotherhood. And sometimes people will say to me, "Well, you got to get out there and you have to do this and you have to do that." And I'm like, "Do you want us to storm the bishop's palace?" I just heard a "sure" down here. It's not glamorous work that the coalition does. I sent a check just last week to a priest in Ohio so he could buy tires for his car. And we want to get out there and we want to show the people the importance of standing up for priests that are trying to build up the kingdom of God. I so much want to get back into ministry. I so much want to hear confessions again. I so much want to preach again. It's the lifeblood of the priesthood. It's the lifeblood of our vocation. But we're dealing with bishops that only care and only want yes men. Just do what you're told, never mind the consequences, just do it. And we're seeing dioceses like the great Archdiocese of Dubuque shrink. Archbishop Jaques could not even mention in his statement that it was KCRD, and he said faithful Catholics should not go. Did he say that to Clark University when they had drag shows? Did he say that to Loras College when they hosted a BLM speaker? Does he say that when they have the gay pride parade in Dubuque? No. And I encourage you, if you've not already read it, you can go to our website. Michael Voris talked about it on the evening news a couple of weeks ago, to read the open letter I sent him imploring Archbishop Jaques imploring Archbishop Jaques to come to the event, to be among your sheep, to smell like the sheep. Stop listening to the lawyers. Start teaching the faith. I am tired of hearing, "Well, you know, Archbishop Jaques, he's a priest of Lincoln, good diocese." I'm tired of hearing from priests that I know either in Dubuque or Rockford say, "Well, we've heard nothing but good things about him." As more and more clusters have to happen amongst the parishes in the Dubuque Archdiocese. I'm sorry, Archbishop Jaques, what's happening in Dubuque did not start with you, but you have the ability to fix it. Stand up with faithful Catholics who want Catholicism. Archbishop Jaques, be courageous like Archbishop Vigano, and call out bishops like Bishop Aloy in Rockford. Who's from Joe Davis County? Could I get some clapping hands for Joe Davis County? It's the best county in Rockford Diocese. But Archbishop Jaques, get out there and confront Bishop Beloy. Confront bishops that are not teaching the faith and are persecuting good priests. Archbishop Jaques, are you telling me the 12 priests in the Rockford Diocese that have done nothing wrong and are sitting on the sidelines, are you telling me that you can't use them in Dubuque? I would love to celebrate Mass at St. Francis Xavier Basilica again. And for those that want to criticize Archbishop Vigano, whether they're the George Weigel Catholics, the neo-Catholics, neocons, whatever you want to call them, I always want to remind people that, and you can still look it up in First Things, George Weigel wrote several years ago a beautiful piece on what a gentleman Archbishop Vigano is. And now all of a sudden, because he's being so critical of this papacy, They want to go back and go, well, maybe he's not as good as we thought he was. No man is perfect. We should not put our chips in one basket. But as I was watching Archbishop Vigano's video today, I saw a man who rebukes well. It's hard to rebuke a superior. Sometimes it's necessary. St. John Henry Newman says that if you're going to do it, the faith better be in jeopardy. Ladies and gentlemen, I think the faith very much is in jeopardy in this country and around the world. The Coalition for Canceled Priests does not intend to rebuke anyone. We are here first and foremost to support priests, to protect them, and to give them the right of defense. But if we have to, we will rebuke. And we only ask the Lord that we can do it with gravity, with temper, with sincerity, with evident goodwill. But if we do have to rebuke, we hope that we can do it firmly, sharply, and faithfully. This might cost us our life, but silent no more. Thank you so much for your support, and may God bless you.